Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at something pretty cool, an Erasmus Plus project application that's all about change in education in Europe. It's officially titled Uplifting Education, Advancing Well-being, Inclusion, and Systematic Transformation at School in Europe.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
I know, right? We'll just call it the RISE Project for short.
Much better.
So what's really got me excited about this one is how it's going for a complete system overhaul, you know?
Right.
Like, it's not just about those little Band-Aid solutions we see all the time for well-being in schools.
Yeah, it's definitely refreshing to see this kind of systemic approach, especially now.
For sure.
I mean, the current educational landscape in Europe is facing a lot of challenges, and RISE seems to be tackling them head-on.
Yeah.
And not just with those same old methods, but with a really cool mix of AI integration and things like
that. Well, on AI and
Lego. There is
Lego. That. Seriously, you've got my attention.
Yeah, it's pretty innovative stuff.
Before we get into all that, though, can you give us like a quick overview of the project's core goals?
Sure.
And how they connect to those big challenges you were talking about?
Absolutely. So RISE is built on three main pillars. Well-being, inclusion, and AI digital transformation. And these areas are like super relevant to the struggle schools are facing right now.
Yeah, makes sense.
Like, think about it. Teacher burnout, social and emotional problems for students.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got technology changing so fast that education systems are struggling to keep up.
Right. It's all connected.
Exactly. And RISE is trying to address all of that by looking at the whole system, not just isolated parts.
Okay. So instead of just fixing like a leaky faucet, they're looking at the entire plumbing system.
Yeah. I like that analogy.
That's a pretty ambitious undertaking, though.
It is.
How long is this project supposed to run?
So they've got funding for 24 months.
Okay.
Starting in September 2025. And they have a grant of 250,000 euro.
So they've got some time to really dive in and hopefully make some real changes.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So big goals, a solid timeline, and some serious funding behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about who's actually behind all of this. Who are the people making RISE happen?
Well, the lead organization is CEPSE-AAAAD, a primary school in Spain.
Okay.
And they have a really strong background in promoting inclusive education.
Gotcha.
In fact, they were a key player in a previous project called INSLUD-ED.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it focused on tackling educational inequality.
So they're bringing some serious experience to the table then.
For sure.
What about the other partners? Who else is working with them on this?
There's a really interesting mix of partners involved, each one with their own unique expertise.
Cool.
For example, there's Stichting for Education on Agility Liberating Structures from the Netherlands.
Okay.
And they're bringing some pretty innovative methods to the project.
Like what?
Things like Lego Serious Play, which we talked about earlier.
Right, the Legos.
Yeah. And they also use agile techniques, which are actually borrowed from the software development world.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's all about making learning fun and engaging.
I like it.
And with a big emphasis on well-being, too.
Wait, so they're actually using Legos as, like, a teaching tool?
Exactly.
I'm trying to picture a classroom full of kids building spaceships and castles while learning math and science.
It's pretty cool.
Okay, I need to hear more about this later on.
We'll definitely dive into that.
Who else is on the team?
We also have Nekmetin Erbakan Üniversitesi from Turkey.
Okay.
They're a university that specializes in teacher education and research-based educational policy.
So they're bringing that academic perspective.
Yeah.
Bridging the gap between research and what's actually happening in classrooms.
Exactly. They're focused on addressing real-world challenges.
So it's not just about pie-in-the-sky ideas.
Right.
They're bringing in the experts who know how to actually make these changes happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Who else do we have?
Well, there's the second primary school of Ovrya from Greece.
Okay.
They have a really inspiring track record of creating inclusive learning environments.
Hmm.
They focus a lot on health education and anti-bullying initiatives.
So they're really taking a proactive approach to well-being.
Yeah.
Addressing those social and emotional needs right alongside academics.
Exactly.
I'm starting to see how all these partners kind of complement each other.
Yeah. They each bring something unique to the table.
Okay. Who else is there?
And from Slovakia, there's Gymnasium Karola Stura.
Okay.
They're a school that focuses on the well-being of teenagers, especially those considered vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And they've developed this really cool peer support program called Peer Buddy.
I love that, like empowering students to support each other.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like they're building a culture of empathy and compassion within the school.
For sure.
That's awesome. Okay, who's our last partner?
The final partner is Ein Europa SRL from Italy.
Okay.
And they bring a ton of experience in EU project management and education.
So they're like the glue that holds it all together.
Yeah, pretty much.
Making sure everything runs smoothly.
Right. And they're also experts in those non-formal training methods, especially for behavior change, which is a key aspect of the project.
So they're the ones who are going to help everyone actually implement these changes.
Yeah, they'll be providing a lot of support and guidance.
It sounds like they've put together a real dream team for this project.
They really have.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting to see what they accomplish.
I'm totally with you there. And what's even more exciting is how they're going to combine all these different skills and experiences
right.
to create something truly transformative.
Exactly.
Okay, you've definitely got me hooked. I'm ready to dig deeper into the specifics.
Right.
Where do we start?
Well, let's get into how RISE is going to actually figure out what's going on in these school systems they're working with.
Okay.
And this is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Remember that Lego Serious Play we were talking about before?
Yeah, the Legos.
Well, it's not just about letting kids build whatever they want.
I was kind of wondering about that.
Right.
Like, how do Legos help you figure out problems in a school?
Well, it's actually a really effective approach.
Okay.
So the idea is that people, whether it's teachers, administrators, students, even parents, they use the Legos to build models.
Okay.
That represent how they see the school system.
So they're literally building like a model of their school's problems.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
But how do you actually get useful information from that?
Well, building the models is just the first step.
Right.
Then they all talk about it and analyze what they built.
Okay.
So they share their models, explain what each piece represents, and how they see things connecting.
Okay.
And that helps bring out those kind of hidden dynamics and challenges.
So like stuff that people maybe don't talk about normally.
Exactly.
And it makes it all visible so they can actually discuss it.
Yeah, exactly.
If that makes sense.
It's a great way to get everyone on the same page and break down those communication barriers that can sometimes exist.
But wouldn't that create like a ton of information to go through?
Yeah, it can.
How do they make sense of it all?
That's where the Cinefin framework comes in.
Okay. And what's that?
So it's basically a decision-making framework that helps them categorize the challenges they've identified.
So it's like a sorting hat for problems.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay, I kind of get it.
So it helps them figure out what kind of problem they're dealing with.
Right.
Because not all problems are created equal.
Can you give us like a real-world example of how that would work in a school?
Sure. Let's say a school is having trouble with students not being engaged in class.
Okay, yeah.
Using the Cinefin framework, they might realize that this isn't just like a simple problem with a quick fix. It's actually a super complex issue with a bunch of interconnected factors.
Okay.
It could be things like the way teachers are teaching, how relevant the curriculum is, even the social dynamics in the classroom.
Right, right.
And so the framework helps them understand that they need a more sophisticated approach to deal with it.
It's not just about adding in more fun activities or something.
So it helps them avoid those Band-Aid solutions we were talking about before.
Exactly.
Gotcha. So they've sorted their challenges using this framework. What happens next?
Then it's time to make a plan.
Okay.
They use something called the Agile framework and a digital whiteboard tool called MyRO to make it all happen.
Okay. So MyRO is like a giant online brainstorming space.
Yeah. Basically.
Where they can map out their plan.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the Agile framework, have you heard of Agile project management?
Yeah, I think so.
It's kind of similar to that.
Okay.
It's about working in short cycles,
getting
the feedback, and adapting to change along the way.
Makes sense. So they're not just stuck with one plan the whole time.
Right. Because things are always changing, especially in schools.
Yeah, for sure.
So their plan needs to be flexible.
So they've got their diagnosis and their plan. What's next?
Well, then comes the part where they actually start making changes. And that's where those three methodologies we mentioned before come in.
Okay, remind me what those were again.
Design thinking, liberating structures, and Scamper.
Right, right.
And these are all about empowering teachers to come up with their own solutions.
Gotcha.
That work for their specific schools and classrooms.
So it's not just like a top-down approach.
No, it's very collaborative.
You mentioned design thinking before.
Yeah.
Can you break that down a bit more for our listener?
Sure. So imagine a group of teachers are trying to deal with student anxiety.
Okay.
With design thinking, they would start by really trying to understand what it's like to be a student with anxiety.
Oh, okay.
They might use tools like empathy maps to visualize what the student is thinking, feeling, and saying when they're stressed.
Interesting.
Or they might use journey maps to understand all the steps a student goes through from feeling anxious to actually getting help.
So they're really trying to see things from the student's perspective before they even start thinking about solutions.
Right, because if you don't understand the problem, you can't really fix it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay, what about those liberating structures?
So liberating structures are all about making discussions and workshops more productive and engaging.
Okay.
They're kind of like tools for unlocking creativity and collaboration.
Gotcha.
Like one technique they might use is called 1-2-4-all.
Okay.
Where everyone starts by brainstorm.
Okay, so we're back, and I'm really curious to hear how RISE plans to get students involved in all of this.
Yeah, it's a key part of the project.
It's one thing to talk about student well-being.
Right.
But it's another to actually give them a voice, you know?
Absolutely, and yeah. RISE is very intentional about that.
Okay.
They're taking a multifaceted approach to student involvement.
Like what kinds of things?
Well, first of all, they're going to be including student voices in every single stage of the project.
Okay.
Remember those Lego Serious Play workshops we were talking about?
Yeah, with the models and stuff.
Exactly. Students will be right there in those workshops. Yeah. Building their own models and sharing their perspectives.
So they're not just sitting on the sidelines watching the adults talk.
Nope. They're active participants.
That's awesome. It's so important for them to feel heard.
It is.
And for their ideas to actually be taken seriously.
Absolutely.
What else are they doing to empower students?
They're also going to create student-led well-being committees.
Okay.
Where students can take charge of projects and initiatives.
Cool. So they can work on things that they actually care about.
Exactly. Like, imagine students leading campaigns to reduce stress during exams.
Yeah, that would be great.
Or organizing peer support groups.
That's a great way to give them a sense of ownership.
It is.
And build those leadership skills.
And it also makes the solutions more effective.
Right, because they're coming directly from the students themselves.
Exactly.
This is awesome.
And remember those design thinking tools we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
Students will be involved in using those too.
Cool. So they're going to be helping design solutions that actually meet their needs.
Exactly. They'll be doing research, interviewing their peers, even creating prototypes.
Wow, that's incredible. It sounds like they're really treating students as partners in this whole thing.
Exactly. They're not just passive recipients of well-being initiatives.
Right. They're actively shaping their own well-being.
And that of their school community.
Okay. This is blowing my mind.
Oh, and there's one more really exciting thing.
What's that?
They're going to be training students to use AI tools.
Whoa, hold on. AI for students.
Yeah, for creative expression and communication.
That's taking it to a whole other level.
I know, right?
So they're not just teaching them about well-being.
Right.
They're giving them the skills to actually make a difference.
Exactly, to become advocates and change makers.
What kind of AI tools are we talking about here?
Well, they're planning to introduce students to tools like GPT-4.
Okay.
Which is great for creative writing.
Cool.
There's also SUNO for voice AI and VE for video editing.
So like students could create podcasts about their experiences?
Exactly.
Or make videos to raise awareness about mental health.
Yeah, they could even use AI to generate artwork and music.
That's insane. It's like giving them a whole new way to express themselves.
It is. And they're not just going to give them their tools.
Right.
They're also going to create platforms for them to share their work.
Oh, right. You're talking about their multi-platform Brandon campaign.
Yeah.
We touched on that earlier.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about how they plan to actually spread the word about RISE?
Sure. So their communication strategy is just as innovative as the rest of the project.
Okay.
They're going to be using social media, podcasts, and all kinds of digital channels to get the message out there.
So they're not just going to be writing boring reports and stuff.
No way.
Yeah.
They're going to create engaging content that people actually want to see and hear.
Like what?
Think like Instagram reels showcasing student projects.
Okay.
TikTok videos with well-being tips.
Cool.
Podcasts featuring interviews with teachers and students.
Awesome.
And blog posts that dive deeper into the methodologies.
That's really smart. They're making these topics accessible to everyone.
Exactly.
But how do they know people will actually see it?
Right. That's a good point.
There's so much stuff out there on social media already.
Yeah, they're going to be really strategic about it.
Right.
They'll have a specific target audience.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll use data to track their progress and make adjustments along the way.
So it's not just about posting random stuff.
Nope. It's about being thoughtful and intentional.
That's great.
They're also developing a strong brand identity.
Okay.
With a unique logo, a vibrant color palette,
mm-hmm.
and a tone of voice that's both informative and inspiring.
I can picture it now.
Yeah.
Like a logo that represents growth and transformation.
Yeah.
Bright colors that make you feel positive and hopeful.
Exactly.
And a communication style that's both engaging and credible.
You got it. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be involving students and teachers in the branding process too.
Of course they are.
So it'll be really authentic and representative of the project.
I love how they're bringing that collaborative spirit to everything they do.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
Okay, so we've covered a lot today.
We have.
We talked about the project's goals, the partners, all those cool methodologies they're using, and their communication strategy.
It's a pretty amazing project.
It is. What's the main takeaway for our listeners?
Well, I think the biggest thing to remember is that RISE is showing us what's possible when we go beyond those traditional ways of thinking about well-being in education.
Right.
They're not just trying to fix the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
They're addressing the root causes.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in a way that gives power to everyone involved.
They're really setting a new standard for what well-being in education can be.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not just talk. They're actually doing the work.
And they're inviting others to join them.
Yeah. So as you're thinking about all of this,
mm-hmm.
I want you to ask yourself, what would it take to create this kind of change in your own community?
Yeah. What small steps can you take to start building a more well-being-centered and inclusive learning environment?
That's a great challenge for our listeners to consider.
I hope they take it to heart.
And if you're feeling inspired by RISE and want to learn more,
yeah,
we've got links to their website and social media in the show notes.
Go check them out.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the RISE project.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, keep learning, keep exploring, and keep believing in the power of education to change the world.